All right, everybody, welcome to episode 9 of Overdunk. I am Josh Zoinks Hebert with Unite Mics, and this is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. Thank you so much for joining in. I have the amazing pleasure of being joined today by a pretty new squad to most of you. However, these players are definitely not new if you've been following the scene whatsoever. You're seeing them on Rank Ladder. You're seeing them in multiple stacks, definitely. But they have formed together for these, Road to Worlds that we've been on recently. Float Stone Gaming. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm so excited to get into this team that, you know, it's new for you, it's new for me, it's fantastic. Let's just give the, people listening at home or watching the stream a quick blurb of just who each of you are. So quick introduction to each of you. Why don't you just say who you are, what people might know you from, and then what role you play on the team. So we'll just kind of roundtable this. Canadian, you're first up in my little Discord circle, so why don't you go first?
Sounds good. I'm Canadian. I'm the top laner for Floatstone Gaming, and pretty much the most handsome guy on the team. So
absolutely, name it, claim it. It's an important role in the squad. Conflicted. Why don't you follow that up?
Okay. Hello. My name is Conflicted. I play support for the team. This is the first MOBA I've played, and my first time ever competing in the game as well.
Oh, sick. That's awesome. Okay. Very cool. Well, you're doing pretty well for your first time ever, making your way into the top 16 of NA. Nice work. All right. Next up is going to be Slicey.
Hello, guys. I'm Slicey. I'm the jungler for Team Flowstone Gaming. People probably will know me as one of the best, if not the best, Gardevoir NA.
Okay, sweet. Okay, I love the confidence of this team already. This is awesome. Jin, why don't you go next?
All right, my name's Mitzeline, and I play attacker for Floatstone Gaming. I'm mainly known for my jungling, but for this team, I'm playing attacker for them.
Okay, cool. So you're slotting into the attacker role slot. You have to give it up for the best Gardevoir in the game. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, yeah. Cooliger, why don't you finish us off?
Yes, sir. My name is Cooliger. I do some streaming and stuff of my own. I played League for 9 years before coming to Unite, and joined this team in Season 3, Floatstone Gaming. I am the defender for this team.
Awesome. Very cool. Hey, shout out to my fellow defenders. Awesome. So, guys, let's talk about the formation of this team. I know you guys are very, very recent. I heard someone saying you've been playing together for, 8 days at this point? Just over a week, is that right?
A full stack.
Okay, awesome. Like so, that, yeah. Full stack. You guys have played together in, like, multiple stacks, maybe just pieces of this team rotating in and out. Who is, like, the newest players to this squad, then, on this team?
Probably Slicey and Cooliger.
Okay.
I'd say Conflicted.
Depends on who you ask, because people play together for a while.
Okay, I gotcha.
Me and Canadian have been playing together for, like, a few months.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so it really depends on where it ends up being, but okay, cool. So you guys are obviously a brand new squad. How did this squad form then?
So I know Canadian was at the core of it, and I know there was a while where Canadian and Slicey were looking to form a team, and they had talked to me, and we had talked to Mitzelini. And I know, like, there was a period where I know Slicey wasn't sure if he was going to be able to contend, but in the end, the three of them formed a core, and I got brought in as well. And then, you know, obviously they were looking for a support, and Canadian said he found a guy that he had a lot of faith in, and that was basically it. Conflicted came and was our support, and that was our squad.
Sweet. Okay, awesome. So you formed a squad, and then for those of you who don't know, if you're listening, the story of the squad so far is that you made your run all the way through Loser's Bracket, took out some pretty hefty teams on the way there, and you actually qualified yourself for this weekend's February final. So first off, congratulations on that wicked run, by the way, you guys, officially saying it on the podcast. I know I've said it before, but seriously, congrats. That's a really awesome, great way to make yourselves in the top 16. Pretty exciting. Now I want to take a second to get to know the kind of the ins and outs of your squad a little bit, find out like the early formation of your team. I ask these questions of a lot of teams just because I think it's really funny, honestly, and I want to see if you guys even have answers for these yet. I know you haven't been playing too long, but the easiest one to answer usually, who's the biggest inter on the squad?
I'm gonna say myself. If we're allowed to say myself, I will say myself. I am very fucking greedy in lane, and I will make the calls to push for a lot of Audinos that sometimes we get away with it, and I just call it limit testing, but sometimes it's definitely a little too greedy and end up dying for it, because I'm the first one to go down.
Okay, gotcha. So maybe a little too crazy on the limit testing, sure. All right, is everybody else on the team confirming this, or are there any other votes for some, you know, the terrible sinners on your team?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Also, Sky Intelot, honestly.
You have to give him some slack since he's defender, though. Like, it's his role to, like, kind of go in. Sometimes it's tough.
You know, in-game support, emotional support on the podcast. I love to see it. you gotta be the backup. But on that note, this is the second one I'd love to follow up. Who on your team is the carry of your squad that never gets any credit?
So I know...
You can also say yourself again, by the way.
I'll say Mitsu.
Mitsu? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, so like, yeah, I know Slicey a lot of times will get a lot of credit because, like,
he's
pretty consistent on the Gardevoir. I actually think Canadian is, like, I think his selflessness is what keeps a lot of the team together, because I know some Lucarios tend to go for the E-speed build, which is better in team fights and has more pop-off potential, but Canadian has always played for the team and gone for the power-up punch build.
Okay.
And a lot of the dreads we wouldn't get without his secure, so... It doesn't show up in the stats at the end of the game, but I think the objectives and getting the experience of the Dreadnought Canadian should get a lot of credit for that kind of thing.
Okay, awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
That freaking game against IX, that was...
He popped off. He stole, like, both their dreads. Out of nowhere!
Heck yeah, let's go! All right, Canadian, you're getting the boost. Let's go. Dreadnought Thief of the Year. That should... Okay, we gotta make a rewards show. That's next on our to-do. I gotta write that down. Unite Mike's reward show and Dreadnought Steal of the Year has gotta be definitely up there. Okay, cool. And then, lastly, I love to ask this. This question is, like, a little plain, but I like to ask who's the funniest team member, but I honestly can tool it a little bit like who, like, if your team's tilting, you guys are having a really bad run on ladder, or you take a bad loss on tournament, who's, like, you know, taking the edge off, like, either just resetting your mind or, like, telling a stupid joke to, like, lighten the mood?
I think it's Cooliger. He's always, like, pretty calm about things.
Okay.
Even when we're behind, he's like, he's always bringing up our spirits.
Okay, cool. So Cooliger, you got the, you know, a little bit of the cheerleader in you on the defender main. That makes a lot of sense.
You know what?
I feel like I'm just dismissing it. Sometimes when I fucking die, I just say that's fine. And it's like to calm the team down, but it's also like me just trying to hide the fact that I entered away another kill. Like...
Michelin's pretty funny too.
Yeah. Like, okay.
I don't think he knows I'm laughing on the other end. But sometimes, you know, one of the team members, they get the Rotom or they get an Audino, he will be so pumped, like he's your father and he just witnessed you ride a bike without training.
That's my favorite descriptor of all time. He's so proud. Yeah. Okay, so Mitsu, you deliver the premium gas in game. Okay, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, so you guys are a newly formed squad. Obviously, the vibes are pretty solid. You got the cheerleader, you got the in-game support, you even got those low-key carries. You got every box checked so far. That's awesome. So let's talk about this first tournament. Did you enter a tournament before the open? Like, was there, like, a rush you guys threw yourselves in together? Or was, like, this five, the first tournament, was the open?
First tournament.
Yeah. Awesome. Eyes closed, head first, can't lose. That's the best way to play. Sweet. So let's talk a little bit about your qualifier run. I'm going to bring it up on stream here. I will also, like, share my Discord screen if you guys want to see it. There. So if you guys want to take a look at that, go for that. But just so you guys can also see it. But all right, you started out, you were one of the teams that got the first bye in the round, I believe, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So you guys had to wait a little bit, see this next match. You ended up having to go against no sponsors first round. A really, really solid team. Another team that has made their way into the top 16. So you lost to a team, you know, made it a long ways as well. So you could take a little bit of, take a little bit of a relief. That's what I'm looking for in that game. But the game was 2-0. Talk to me a little bit about how this game went down.
You had both of these teams won, but
yeah, they
were the first game. We lost because they got their Eldegoss to score at the last second.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, they had a sneaky Eldegoss score.
Both games were very close. Like, it was a 2-0, but like the first game came down to a zap flip. They were in the lead, so we were the team that having to flip it, and we ended up getting it off of a surf at the very last second, but a lot of us had died. I was the only person who was still alive who was able to score.
Okay.
So I got mine in, but literally, like, I go to the top lane outer, and on the other side is Zixari playing the Eldegoss, and I know she put in 100, like, just as the timer went off, and I was not able to get back in time to stop that, so it was literally, like, a 2-second difference between us winning and us losing, because we lost by 50.
That's brutal. Oh, what a heartbreaker.
The second one was also very close, because I know we were up in that game, so we're the team defending Zapdos this time. We win the fight, and we get 3 of the enemies down, and their biggest threat to steal is Talonflame, so we're thinking to ourselves, like, we can either flip the Zapdos, because they're going to come back and they're going to try and flip it anyway. So we could either flip it when most of them are dead, or we can turn it into a flip when they're all alive and they're the ones doing it. We figured we'll take it off the map. And obviously, like, we know the Talonflame's a threat, so I'm trying to find him. But I ended up going to the wrong spot. Like, I saw him last in bottom left, but he had gone top left, and he got it out of a Brave Bird, unfortunately.
Shoot, that's rough. And then, are you playing the Slowbro on this team when you're playing Tankroll?
Yes.
Okay, so you're hunting to find that Unite move, like, shut down on their carry potential. Okay.
Yeah, that's usually what I'm going for in a fight,
Gotcha, makes a lot of sense. Okay, so you take a very close, but a loss, and you head down into the loser's bracket. So, let's see if I can find you guys in here. You are end up being somewhere here, but you end up going on a, like I said, a pretty crazy run. Let's see if I can control F. Find you guys. Okay, here we go. Found you. I'll just keep it glowing yellow because that makes a lot of sense. Okay, wow. So you had to start in this first round, and you 1, 2, 3, 4 O2s in a row. The only team I recognize a little bit here might be God Squad, I think, but I think that's because I casted them in the game where TTV beat them and sent them to you guys. So I think that's the only reason I recognize them being here. But talk to me, any like notable games in any of these first four rounds that you played through, or were they pretty easy?
I mean, I don't want to sound like
overly confident,
but like there wasn't too much memorable from them from what I remember. I remember them like being relatively smooth sailing for the most part. I think we can all somewhat agree on that.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
but I also think, I'm sure you guys will agree with me, Team Phoenix, they kind of gave us a run for our money there. That was
That was our fifth match. That's where we actually lost the first game.
Yeah, your first one too. Okay, so you lost that first game. Canadian, talk to me, why did that game feel so difficult, especially losing that first game? What happened?
Well, they had a Dragonite attacker. And you know, it was easy going the first little bit of the game, but like once he's Dragonite, there's just no chance we're getting those second or third dreads.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
It kind of really what kept him in the game. And I'm surprised he didn't get that last sap either. But
okay, gotcha. So you're talking about game three? Was it a little bit of a zap flip at the end?
Oh, game three was stressful, man.
Okay.
It was everybody on the zap, and we got it.
Yeah, a little bit of a coin flip in the air. Okay, and Floodstone Gaming was able to take it. Okay, very, very nice. So Phoenix is running that Dragonite attacker in lane. What attacker are you guys running in bot lane right now?
Venusaur.
Okay, you guys are one of the Venusaur squads. All right, that makes a lot of sense. Cool, and then you're running the Gardevoir jungle as well, right?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. So, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I always... Do you do the strat, the same one that Assassin Dave's team does, where do you swap the Venusaur into the jungle at a certain point in the game?
Yes.
It's always after first strat.
Yeah, Okay, after first dread, then immediately you guys swap, send a Venusaur into the jungle, get that level up farm. Okay, very, very cool. Yeah, I guess that just has to happen when you need both Gardevoir and Venusaur to scale as much as you need. Makes a lot of sense. But cool,
And it fits with our play style as well, because after first crit, I'm jungling and jungling again, and Stacy's attacker.
okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, sweet. So, any more notes on this 2-1, or just a coin flip, and you guys kind of all breathe a
Like,
sigh of relief?
I don't want to sound arrogant, but the first game is because we had ping issues and lag.
Oh,
They
really?
had host. As soon as we get host, we start curb stopping them the whole
Yeah, I
time.
remember that.
Okay. A
Yeah,
bit of
we
relief.
asked for a host because the first game was actually tricky to play. I kind of forgot that happened, but yeah, that was a thing.
Okay, gotcha. So I really a rough slide. Okay, that could be forgiven. Canadian doesn't get one of his godlike steals on all the dreadnoughts. Fine, you get that one for free. All right, okay, but you're able to get host. You guys get a little bit of better ping, and you're able to take it through a scary, scary flip at the
Yeah.
end. But hey, you took it. Fantastic.
Yeah. They're very flippy, and they're a little smart about it too. Like they get a couple of teammates go score on either one of our tiers, and
Okay.
meanwhile the Dragonite would alt into the zap pit and start on the zap.
Oh,
And before
weird.
you know it, yeah, we'd be looking at our tier ones and twos, and before you know it, the zap would be half. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our first, what, half global Unite move, I guess, coming out of Dragonite, really gonna put in the work. That's a pretty scary moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so Phoenix definitely, I mean, they went out, you guys knocked them out of the tournament, but still a pretty threatening team going into any other open bracket for sure, I think. But okay, cool. Speaking of pretty solid teams, you guys ended up running into Sucker Bunch's Relentless Squad. So like their B team a little bit. This is Nikolife Squad. You guys were able to take down this team. A notable team, definitely. They also beat out Kinetic Gaming in just the game before, which is another, like, I would say maybe not in caliber compared to you guys, but just like same sort of
Pretty
story
good
as you
squad.
guys. Like
Yeah.
recently built, definitely all coming from like really top level Discords and this and that. They were able to take them down, and then you guys matched up against them 2-0. Obviously, the game score is pretty dominant here. Is that how the game felt for you, or was this a pretty close game?
No, I think this series was closer than Phoenix, even though like there was
Really?
Lamont and Phoenixes. Because
Okay.
so
Yeah.
like we knew it was gonna be a tough match because we know a lot of the names. I've been good friends with Roger for a while, and he's their jungler.
Okay.
And I actually like got to talk to him a little bit about this game after, because I got to read into his mindset. He did a thing where he early ganked bot like very early on Cinderace,
Okay.
and it kind of threw us off because usually in 1-1-3 meta, obviously the junglers will fight over top because there's more experience up there.
Right.
And the main reason he goes bot is because he knows that we have a Gardevoir, and contesting the bees against a Gardevoir Lucario as a Cinderace with nothing but single target damage is really hard.
Ooh, yeah,
So
that's
instead,
a mountain.
That's pretty
he
much a
kind of
problem.
decides to stack the top lane a little bit in order to really push bot ahead and make sure we can't like walk off base to contest any Aldinos anymore or any of the bees,
Okay.
which is actually a very smart strategy.
Yeah,
But
it's a good play.
we definitely weren't expecting it the first game, and I think it threw our bot lane pretty far behind.
Okay.
And yeah, they had a lead. I know they had a lead in the first game, at least for a lot of the game, and you know, obviously we ended up winning the last fight. And then the second game, like, was very close. We like fought over the dread, and both teams are walking back into Zapdos. But I noticed we had more people like clumped together and grouping up and walking into Zapdos, and a couple of them went back into their jungle, but their Eldegoss and their Pikachu walked into the pit. And I noticed how split off from the team they were, so I remember hitting a pretty good surf that game, and we took them both out of the fight before it started.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, nice plays. That's fantastic. Yeah, like you said, close game, that early adaptation to throw you off, but hey, you were able to adapt. Let's hear from someone else in the bot lane. Do you kind of share the same sentiment? Was it that tough to deal with that initial strategy? And how did you guys adjust? Slicey, I want to hear from you. You're the jungler. How did you play, especially at the later end of that game?
Can't really remember exactly because I usually play with names off, so I don't remember like specific games and who I faced.
Okay, cool.
Which kind
It's
of
all
helps
the
in the middle of the
same.
game and like takes
Yeah.
off the pressure because
I
just
love
playing
that.
another game. I usually like as a Gardevoir after the first dread, it's really hard to miss getting the Dinos. So whenever I just go to bot lane, it's like I either get four or five, like at least
Makes a lot of sense.
out of the five Dinos. So
Cool.
I think in the early gank, that's the first, I think it's a level four or level five gank, which is first gank in the game. So I don't know about Mitsu or Conflicted might have an idea on what happened in that first gank.
We're already playing like Venusaur versus Pikachu, so the lane's gonna be a bit harder for us. And then him ganking bottom definitely like caught us off guard. I'm not sure if any of us died, but we definitely like couldn't really contest the bees or anything. So until Dread, they were just ahead the whole game.
Gotcha. But you guys were able to swipe Dread, the first one?
Did we swipe that first? I'm not actually, I
That
don't
is such
actually
a specific memory. I don't
remember.
expect anyone to have actually that
Very
unlocked,
good.
but sorry.
Yeah, I
Cool.
know, and like they have a very strong early comp, especially with the Cinder like pushing bot lane that much more ahead, because Venusaur versus Pikachu matchup is definitely Pikachu favored in the early game. But we just like prioritize the scaling of both Gardevoir and Venusaur, and the fact that if we get them both to level 13, we can win any late game team fight if we
Oh,
play it right.
absolutely.
So.
The amount of reward you're given if you can get to that level is gigantic. That's so good. Gardevoir, Venusaur, and Lucario, probably three of like the best team fighting Pokemon ever. Oh, and Eldegoss, of course. I mean, S tier for life. So that Pokemon gotta be taken out
Totally,
as well.
totally.
All
His
right.
mobile so plus is
Yeah.
also huge.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I love the like design space for Slowbro of being the like individual shutdown. I think it's just so exciting to I don't know how exciting it is to play against the Slowbro. That does sound terrible at a competitive level. However, the like spectator idea of like, okay, the Slowbro is hunting for the like carry in this team fight. That is so exciting. It's like man-to-man defense in like a playoff basketball game. Like you are guarding Jordan. Good luck. And then you have to go from there. I love that. But okay, awesome. So you guys were able to take some, I mean, tough games, obviously. This is a really strong team. And you were able to take them out of it, knock them out of the bracket, and move on to face your final opponents of the day is IX Gaming. So IX Gaming, assigned team in the scene, some really strong players on their team. I really respect a lot of them. LKJ, Tibasol, I think they have a really solid bot lane as a squad. And you guys were able to take this game 2-1. Walk me through this game. If anybody remembers specifics of game one, how did things start? Were things looking bright, or was it a pretty rough from the beginning?
It was rough in the beginning until Canadian starts killing every dread from them.
Okay. Canadian just picking the pockets of IX Gaming, huh?
Yeah, I know we
Thankfully, I.
lost the bot lane a little bit, but the I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, we got two Dreadnoughts in that game. Despite losing some of the experience from the laning phase, I think the Dreadnoughts like kept us in the game enough to keep us experience relevant for the last fight.
Okay, awesome. And that's where, obviously, we've already said that's where your team comp really thrives. If you can succeed, if you can just hold on long enough, that is where your team is really gonna explode. Okay, awesome. Where did the game loss happen then? Was it one, two, obviously not three.
Two. It's
Okay.
two.
Yeah,
All right.
two, and it was very disheartening because we saw them top, and then the Wiggly was walking down, and somebody jumped top and didn't cover, so we literally lost by like one score, like 2 seconds
It
at the
was
last. Yeah.
what's it called?
It was just
So
stress. Yeah,
we didn't
stressful
have bot
because.
pad. We only had base and bot pad, and
Okay.
they were five man pushing bot.
Uh-huh.
And then I was spawning in like 3 or 4 seconds. And someone called that they have five bot. So I spawned, I ran down, and
And
then
there was
I
only
saw
four
Wiggly
bot.
in base.
Oh
Yeah,
no.
the
I'm
Wiggly
like, oh
left the
no.
fight pretty
Then
early.
the Wiggly just score in the car and then
Yeah, so it's kind of my fault because I was the last person to walk out. Should have just asked the team to cover outside and I would cover mid.
It's always stressful when they're making that last push, because especially if you're not there, you sometimes don't know how the fight is going, and it's tough to say if like your team is getting wiped and you should be there, or whether like they realize they're not winning that push and they've sent someone to counter push one of the other lanes. And
Oh,
so it's just
definitely.
like it was just like one of those in the moment, like we made a slight slip up in terms of miscommunication. The Wiggly like slipped past us and got that
Right.
score in.
Yeah, I definitely don't think we can really attribute that to anyone's fault, or at least I wouldn't.
No.
Maybe you guys could blame each other, but if I was, or blame yourselves, as it sounds like you guys are doing. But if I was watching that game, I don't think you can really blame anyone at that point. But it's also just the nature of how this game operates. I mean, if you're stacking shields on top of each other, a 5-man push is terrifying no matter what. That is so much buddy barrier that you have to break through to stop a score from happening. Like, that is that's a daunting task even for four people on your squad to do. So yeah, wanting all five there is a pretty natural inclination, I think. Okay, awesome. And then things turned around a little bit, obviously. You were able to take this final game. Now, I was actually able to spectate this one. It was a ton of fun, but I want to hear from you guys. How did it feel to be it? Like, actually, before we even talk about the game itself, was it setting in that, like, guys, this is our winning in game? Like, we have 10 minutes and we qualify for finals. Us, a week-long team, Floatstone Gaming makes it into finals. Was that, like, seeping into your guys' head at all? Or, Slicey, was the no names just another Unite game? Was that what was going on mentally?
For me, at least, that was pretty much what was going on. Except for top lane, their Lucario was OG.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god, he was just ripping left and right.
Yeah, well, she's really, really good at the game for sure. Okay, everybody else, how about mentality thing? What were you guys nervous? What was going on?
I think I was tilted because we lost that second game.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, in the beginning, I messed up my Venus were clear from Apes of the Monkeys.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was just a bit more stressful because we went from losing by like 1 second to having a tiebreaker, pretty stressful game to get in there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so yeah. it was less like we can do this, guys, and more how the heck did we get in this situation?
Which is there was definitely like an extended discussion on our coverage from the last game that we still were talking about, and then I think like the third game kind of came on us quickly, and I know like. For me, at least, it had been such a long day already. Like, it was, like, 8 or 9 hours that it just kind of felt like we had been playing so many games that we were just in the mindset of playing the game. Like, I can't speak for everyone, obviously, but I wasn't having thoughts of, like, I knew that it was the last one we needed, but I wasn't, like, trying to look past that. I was just focused on playing the game, trying to, like, keep my mental together after a very long day and a couple of stressful losses.
Guys, if we win this, we can stop playing Pokemon Unite. Yeah, what a gift that will be. Okay, fair enough. Well, you guys dropped the ball on that. You made it a 2-1. You made it longer for yourself, but whatever. awesome. Okay, so the mental's not going so hot, but not for the reason you'd expect headed into this game, yet you still pull it off. Someone give me the spark dose. What was the MVP of this situation? Just player, or like how did it play out? What gave you guys the win?
Was this the game that Slicey got the
this was the game that we were noticing they were not present in mid.
Oh, yeah.
And then
this
they were
game,
back capping.
I remember what happened.
Okay.
What happened was I looked at the screen and I noticed their Venusaur was still level 12 and they weren't at the Zap Pit. That they were farming. So we started hitting the Zapdos trying to lure them in because we hit it, the Zapdos so low and they still weren't in it. We kept hitting it because I knew the Venusaur.
No, we didn't go for a lure in. We went for a rip.
Yeah, we just went.
Because they had people back capping off the bottom.
Yeah.
Vina was not 13 yet. So
you knew they were farming.
Anyone coming.
They were just trying to stall for time and they weren't in a position to. Yeah.
Gotcha.
They just let us in there for free.
They just let us in for free.
We saw a bot cap and we noticed Venusaur was still farming and we didn't see anyone. So we just ripped it. And with the Guardian secure, it's kind of free.
Sure.
Not for sure, but it was definitely in our favor.
And I think the Lucario was like scoring bots. So we had a 5-3 advantage in the Zap Pit.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So yeah, you got 5-3 and you have Venusaur there for team fight. You got Goolger there to shut down whenever you need to. And then of course you got Slicey's incredible secure a future site. So yeah, it sounds like you guys had it all lined up. You get the rip and you get to run it all the way to the opposite base and score, score, score. So really incredible run. Great read on tracking that Venusaur, like leveling and even like that. I love when we hit the crescendo of macro and micro plays in Pokemon Unite. Always very, very exciting. So awesome. Well, fantastic work, guys. Huge, huge tournament, tournament win. That is awesome. This and then
wait, one quick thing I want to add, funny, I don't know if it's really funny, but
go ahead.
So second game we lost because they had a Wiggly backup and we five man defended one pad, and then last game we took Zap, we scored, went back to base, they did the same thing, five man push, and then had someone slip out. Then they also backgapped on us.
Oh no!
But this time we had a better advantage, like a higher advantage. That cap didn't matter.
Fool us once, shame on us. Fool us twice, still shame on us. But we scored more. All right,
yeah. Got in the end.
I love that. That's all you. Hey, you got to play the early game if you want to win the late game. That's all that is. Nice work, awesome guys. Well, hey, congratulations. Right, let's talk a little bit about your team then. Now, so after this tournament, you guys have had a great bracket run. You took down, I think, two, maybe even three notable teams if we're counting some of the other ones there. And now we're headed into this final. Where do you think you guys rank on a lot of the community's radar? Do you guys think you are lower on the totem pole in terms of this upcoming tournament? Or do you guys think there's a little more respect on your name after this really nice qualifier run?
Go ahead.
I think we're still a little underrated. I think where we're actually at and where the community thinks we're at is a lot different. I'd say on a on a normal day, I'd say we're top three.
Okay, wow.
On a good day, I don't think there's one team that we can't beat. Not saying, they're not going to be close games, and, there might be one or two flips in there, but...
You win those. That's all it is.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay.
Yeah, I think the general consensus is, most people would have TTV and Ascendance as the two favorites going in, and rightfully so, they've earned that respect with all the tournaments they've had.
Sure.
And then I think there's a couple of teams that have formed with a lot of big names who had consistent success before, teams like Tyre and Full Send and No Sponsors, who obviously knocked us out of the winner's bracket. And I think those teams are probably going to be, there's, a group of, six teams that I feel like are the favorites going in, but every team that made it to the top 16, I think, is at least a level of respect that has to be given to all of them, because every team at this point is a threat. And so I think any team could, on their best day, could probably be ranked as high as sixth or seventh. And that's obviously just going into the tournament, because that upsets happen, right? That's why we play the game. It's not always done as paper. So
not scripted.
That's the mindset we're going into. I know if we do get, a second round matchup with TTV, which isn't to be looking forward past our first round opponents, that'll obviously be the heavily favored team, but all we can do is put our best foot forward and not worry about the reputations.
Sure. Okay, well, let's talk about looking forward then. I know you didn't want to look past your first round opponent and stuff like that, but in terms of how prep has been going into this tournament, and even if you guys prepped it all for the qualifier, I don't know how fast the team was organized before the actual event. Are you guys just grinding ladder together? Are you trying to find teams to scrim during the days at all? And are you guys even committing time to something like VOD review? I know your team's newer, so what does that look like in terms of a preparation for your squad?
So we've been doing a lot of ladder, and we've been limit testing too. We've been trying different comps. We're playing our strongest comp and trying to continue to perfect that and perfect all the situations, but we're trying other comps too to limit test that. And I know we've done done some VOD review in terms of post game, in some of our losses, where was our positioning wrong. I know we did that recently. We had a loss where we looked at it in the Zap pit and we were we were just we should have been positioned bottom right, stuff like that. And then I know we haven't played any scrims yet, but we have been looking and talking to various teams about that, and I know we're coming up close to the deadline, but hopefully we can get some practice games in either before the thing or even after, if we keep going into the March qualifiers later on down the line.
Okay, Awesome. Very cool. So your team is definitely on the lookout for those kind of things and even committing time to VOD review already. That's awesome. Yeah, not many teams can be boasting that. So that's really cool. But has that transition just been more recent? Like, now that you guys are qualified, is the team kind of taking things more seriously? Are you guys more focused on finals than I guess it's also a question of how much did you expect to make it here?
I think we had the expectation of making it.
Okay.
I believe our team individually are very skilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think going into this, we knew we were going to get top 16.
Okay, awesome.
But when we lost that first round, it kind of is pretty disheartening. You know, but we pulled through, I guess.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, our team have a lot of good players with a lot of potential, like a lot of underrated players with very high potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, your guys' mechanics, like from what I've seen spectating you guys, even just listening to you guys talk, and then also what's coming up to me is you definitely are playing some compositions that aren't considered, I mean, meta. They're all good picks, but maybe not in conjunction with each other. And even saying that, the meta's been changing quite a bit more recently than it has in past month and things like that. But I want to know, what kind of sets your team apart? And what do you think that really makes Floatstone Gaming a more unique squad?
Yeah, I know, like, you know, we're not the first team to pick up the Guardy Jungle. And I think, like, it gives us unique options, because I think we have two very good attacker players, both of whom play some jungle and attacker, so it gives us the ability.
Yeah, that flexibility.
Yeah, because we can also flex to things like mages for Slicey, like other mages like Pikachu, allowing Mitsulina to go to team fighters in the jungle. So it's the versatility of both of the carries, knowing their power spikes and being able to like switch to jungle based on like who needs the levels more. And it gives us it's almost, I think, a little bit like, it throws some teams off when we do our switch halfway through, because they go from playing a Venusaur in lane, which is a very different character, to all of a sudden the Gardevoir's in lane now, and you have to change up your style of play completely against it.
Okay.
Cool. So I think that throws some teams off too.
That makes a lot of sense. But okay, cool. Well, awesome. I want to start talking about the monthly finals in just a second, but before I do that, we did have a little bit of recent news in Pokemon Unite, so I want to just touch on that. Who has anybody got the chance to play Hoopa at all, being added to the game?
Y'all did a little practice last night.
Okay, we got an oh my from the squad. What do we think of this new Pokemon?
Overpowered and broken.
Okay, yeah. They seem pretty busted for sure. What part of the... You know, my favorite question that I get to ask is, what part of their character is broken? Because, like, I really do feel like you could build this character in multiple directions to be really, really strong. Yeah. But, busted, what do you guys think is the strongest tool that it's bringing to the table?
I
think he's gonna eliminate 113.
Wow, okay. I love that, first off. That's awesome.
It's definitely something like you have to play around, because it brings something to the game that no other character does, with like level pressure on MOBA is such a huge thing.
Oh, it's so big.
And then also just playing some games, I feel like the ultimate's actually really powerful. Like,
I love it.
It almost feels like a Charizard ult, where Wiki ults and you just can't fight him unless you have like a huge advantage. You basically just have to spread out. Because I had a game where I played a standard and walked into the Zap Pit like in a 2v5 and got the ult and like both got the Zapdos and their entire team, and I was like, okay, this shit is like really strong.
Oh man, I shouldn't be laughing. As a player that you guys have to deal with this in game, that sounds so tough. But as just a casual fan, when Hoopa literally, you know, becomes a Zorg and just destroys the enemy team by walking into them, like, oh, it's incredible. I could rant about like game design things and stuff for a long time, but I really think Unite has been killing it with the like design of the Pokemon that they've been releasing. I think Trevenant, Aegislash, and Hoopa have all had really like cool designs of the game. Numbers and things like that, definitely balance has never been their strength. But I do think like core design philosophy, it works. Like when Hoopa goes unbound, you are like living the like power fantasy that you want to have. Like when you see, it's like the idea of when you see that character on the screen, you feel like that character playing it because you just are like a titan walking around. It's so fun. Sorry that you guys have to figure out how to deal with that in a metagame. I love
it. It is banned for this tournament, so like we're kind of thankful we don't have to worry about it for the next 2 days. We're just going to practice what we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not going to show up in ranked because people can't actually buy the license, so they have to do at least like 5 days worth. So like we're like, okay, we play what we know for now. Mm-hmm. We focus on the next 2 days. After that, like, we're looking forward to having fun with it and limit testing it and playing it, but in the meantime we're just gonna stick with what we know.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, Hoopa brings up so many new potential plays to the game.
Yeah,
the entire game.
That's awesome. I heard the comment that he's going to eliminate 113. Talk to me a little bit about that.
It's because Hoopa gets its power spike at level 4, so you can bring can use the little teleport thing to go from one lane to the other at 4. That's really, so cool. Really so overtuned. And it's on a 10-second cooldown.
Yeah, that is another crazy part of it, too. Oh, junglers' lives are just going to be horrible having to pick
which lane. Yeah, but can 1v1 any character and just go back to base and just go back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you use teleport, though, there's an internal personal cooldown. I think it's like 15 or 17 seconds.
And so you can use the portal itself again, right?
Yeah.
So use the portal, you teleport. And then cooldown resets, you use the portal, you can't teleport until the other cooldown finishes your own.
It's going to be really hard if one team doesn't have a Hoopa, because the idea of your whole team being down and fighting for the Dreadnought, potentially getting the Dreadnought, but then rotating like 3 to 4 people, whoever you need, up to the top turret immediately and being at Rotom before the other team if they don't have one, it's just like, rotation is going to be ridiculous.
One thing, though, is like Blastoise might be more playable because you can just push people outside of the circle and they don't teleport.
Right, because they need to like stand in there for a like couple back of seconds. To
base.
Right?
Yeah. This is like when going back to base.
Ah, interesting. Okay, so you can stop. I stop back or I stop Hoopa back is also going to be a new call out. Okay, good. We're adding even more. Okay, awesome. Okay, so this character is busted. It's going to be strong, but it is actually banned for this first, for this monthly final. Okay, that's really good. I'm glad that we have that precedent kind of set going forward in the rest of these tournaments. Just get that out early so there's not, like, people up in arms later about how their favorite Pokemon's added, yet they can't play it in tournament bracket. I think it makes, I think that is just a good precedent to set. Also, this game has a somewhat of a reputation for having just pretty bad bugs in this game, so the more we can cut down on having those be, you know, utilized in tournament play, the better. So, very cool. Okay, so new Pokemon, it seems exciting and fun, but let's take a look at your guys' upcoming bracket a little bit as we kind of like head off to the tail end of this show. You guys are in that final still. Let me share my screen again for you. Cool. All right, you guys are headed in here, and you guys are on this bottom half of the bracket, which I said before is, like, stacked. This side, I think, is definitely tougher than the top lane side, or top side of the bracket. I don't know if you guys fully agree or not, but either way, your first game is going to be up against Millennium. Also, congrats on the second seed, by the way. Not sure how.
I think those are just randomized, if I'm being honest. I'm pretty sure, anyway.
Congrats on the second seat.
We'll take it.
Well, not this point.
Awesome. So you guys are going up against Millennium first. So we talked a little bit about this. Do you guys think that you are favored in this game?
I think we're favored.
I believe
so. I think so. Like, again, I think there's like a top six and then there's like an everybody else thing. But I do think that we're probably slightly favored. I think the biggest thing is people are starting to call us the team that beat IX, and if IX was going to be favored versus them, then I think we're getting that same reputation and respect at least.
I love that. Okay, awesome. That's fantastic. So, if you guys are winning your first round, you guys are headed up against either TTV or Foreign Famous. Now, I think almost everybody in these bracket predictions, mine was included in this, it has TTV going into the next round, but Foreign Famous, a good squad as well. They made it through the open qualifiers. And they run a very similar composition to you guys, except they run the like double tank instead of a healer on their team, which is interesting. But hey, they're making it work, obviously. But let's just go with the more common idea. If you guys are up against TTV in that second round, do you guys have what is going to be your key to victory when you're playing against a team that strong and has been this strong for such a long time? Do you guys have an idea of like, we need to do this really, really well, and that'll be, you know, how we get this game?
Like, we just need to stick to our, like, how we play the game.
Okay.
Like, TTV, every single game they play different. Like, it's really hard to expect what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But if we just stick to, like, pace, what we excel at, like, our early game is pretty strong.
Okay, cool. Early game being strong with, you know, Gardevoir and Venusaur on your team is that's tough to do sometimes. But, hey, if you can
Gardevoir
make that
is
work.
Actually the strongest level 5 jungler in the game.
Got you. That future site getting unlocked.
Top B's fight, we win 90% of the time.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I guess I gotta stop underrating that Pokemon if you're getting to level 5 that fast. I mean, that makes a ton of sense. But okay, gotcha. So if you can you really push your advantage of having that strong early game, you think that can sort of domino effect you into a win against TTV?
Potentially, yes.
Okay, yeah.
We just need to
knock on wood. Knock on wood. I got it. Head into it. Okay, any more thoughts from the rest of the squad? Heading into this TTV game, what are your ideas to try to take a win out of this one?
As long as we play normally, we should do fine.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah, like, I don't think you can go in expecting to lose. There'll be, like, no reason to go, but...
Yeah.
It'll definitely be the toughest game in our bracket for sure if we continue.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, like, it's going to come down to some of the early games and the kind of momentum we can build, because one of the things they've always done so well is they play at their own pace, and they're always, like, thinking a couple steps ahead.
Sure.
And so, like, they're very smart in their rotations, and we have to, like, be good about predicting what their call is, as much as that's really hard with TTV. They're one of the hardest teams to do that.
Yeah, true.
But yeah.
Okay, awesome. So then, let's say you guys are able to take this game against TTV. I think you guys have a good shot. You're headed into round 3. Who do you think is going to be the round 3 opponent in this winner's bracket match? And again, Gengar, Goons, Overcap, Shiny, and Tire.
I think Tire.
Really? Tire, you think Tire? Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
What do you guys think that gives Tire the advantage, especially going up against a round 1 opponent of a really strong, at least reputable, Team Shiny?
I definitely think Shiny Tire is one of the most stacked first round matchups.
Yeah, it's gonna be a banger for sure. Okay.
I think Tire has a lot of people who have been underrated for a while too. I know that like Yeetfan and Yikes have climbed the ladder very well, and are too, like, I think Yikes is one of the best junglers I know as well. Obviously Slicey too. But
sure.
And then they're hard to play against because they play a very strong bot side, but they also have what most people would probably call the best green in the game and Archeryu in the top lane. And I definitely think that they're just a well put together team that plays similarly, where it's like they don't necessarily have as much versatility as some teams, but what they do play, they play extremely well. And I think what they play is so well-rounded to begin with that I think it just works into most situations.
Awesome. Very cool. Okay, so we think that Tire is going to be the one headed into round 3. Any other shout-outs from the rest of the team that they want to give to this squad? Any other really strong points that you want to bring up?
I think they have the green in jungle, actually, not top lane.
Interesting.
They have top lane. Who's their top lane?
Is it? No, Archeryu is their top laner. They have Archeryu top. Yikes!
Jungle. Oh yeah, Yikes jungle. Okay, never mind.
Okay. That would be another wild pick, but okay, awesome. Yeah. So they definitely are versatile.
Always annoying to play against Ingredient.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That is a challenging opponent. Yeah, Canadian. How do you like to play Lucario and Ingredient?
It's literally the most annoying top laner to play against.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even when you're winning lane against Ingredient, it's just so annoying.
You just always feel like you're losing, even if you're winning.
Yeah.
It's just not good. Okay.
They don't die.
No.
Don't die. And you can't, I'm running pup, so I don't have full heal. So if Ingredient starts to come in, I can't really do much.
No. The immortal squirrel is shutting you down. Oh, that's rough. Okay. All right, so yeah, the pup build is a tough matchup in the green. Okay, it's not going to be a tough matchup, but okay, so let's say you guys are able to crush all this way through the bracket. Good luck, boys. You're heading into round four. Out of the top side of the bracket, who do you think is going to be the team to make it all the way through winner's side?
Ascendance.
All right.
I'd have to agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And what, the other team in this would be what, maybe Full Send is like the only other... Like,
yeah, I think Full Send and No Sponsors are decent. I think the No Sponsors Ascendance game will be pretty good.
Yeah, those are the two. Those are the two first round like banger games. Good.
I think if Ascendance gets past No Sponsors, I think they make it all the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think LEGO's pretty underrated, but. Yeah.
Okay, LEGO being an underrated team, that's a good shout. Awesome. Okay, yeah. Okay, so if Ascendance makes it all the way, that's going to be a team headed into winners. Okay, awesome. Well, I don't want to do any more predictions on the actual bracket itself, because at that point, I think we're just getting so far into theory land that like there's a 0% chance that we'll be correct on anything, because the day is going to play out how the day actually does. So we have a little bit of questions, but I do want to talk just a bit more about this tournament. Last couple ending questions. On this entire list of teams that I'm looking at right here, who is the team that you are most excited to play against?
We all want to give like an individual idea answer. I know personally, I think either TTV, just because like I've always, they were the ones that like we, a lot of us were watching, at least for me, like in season one, they were like first kings of the thing, and everyone like has this respect and reputation for them. And then I would also be very excited about a Gengar's Goons matchup if they make it far enough, just because they were some of my first friends when I started getting into the competitive community, and I still got some good friends there. So it would be like a nice like sentiment match to play against them.
Sweet. It's always good to play against the homies. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Anybody else have a team that they are specifically would love to play against in this bracket?
I think those sponsors.
Okay.
You want a rematch?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. The ego rematch. I love that. Yeah, you need that one. That'd be a good one. The bracket would be wild if that was like the final two. Like, there'd be a lot of upsets on the day, but that'd be so exciting. Okay, cool. That's who you guys want to go against. Canadian, any team you want to match up against here?
Yeah, I was going to agree with Coolit. I think TTV.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of experience playing the other teams, but... I don't know, I think us and TTV, we play at different times, so I'm kind of excited to see how we're gonna match up.
That's awesome. Cool. You gotta play against the best in the game if you wanna be the best in the game. Conflicted, how about you? Is there any teams on this bracket that you're really, really excited to start playing against?
I think one team that'd be annoying to play against, but maybe kind of fun, would be Overcap, since we've never had like a good score comp in like the NA meta. To like make it this far, so that game would definitely be interesting.
Yeah, we got the chance to cast them versus Glitch when they knocked out Glitch in the tournament. Yeah, that game is, they're good at score comp too. Like that, that's the thing too. They're fun to watch on that.
And it's a very chaotic way to play. I almost feel like there's this like underlying hope for whoever they're playing against that the other team knocks them out. Like NA is cheering for their opponents because nobody wants to play against Overcap.
That's true, except Conflicted, who's just wild. But other than that, yeah, exactly. Okay, Slicey, how about you? Any teams on this list that you're really excited to play against?
Probably TTV, because cool. As the Coolit mentioned, they've been at the top for so long, and they play the game so differently from any other team.
That's so true. That's really, really cool. Okay, so that is I love that we have the we have kind of the list of what you guys want to be playing. Fantastic. Yeah, I also am excited to see you guys match up against TTV. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And hey, I don't wish Overcap on anyone, but if anyone was to take him down, it'll be you guys, right? Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So, as we kind of wind down the show here, I want to just thank you so much for joining me, first up, by the way. But as we're hitting towards the end, I just want to do a question for you guys that I ask all the teams that I have on here. I know we have a lot of the people viewing this are definitely from the pro scene, already Masters players, have been for a long time, but we do get every now and then a few newer players who just grinded up, have hit that Master rank, and are interested in playing on a team, interested in being competitive and trying to get up to a team like you at your level. So I just would love to go around another round table sort of situation, and if you want to just have give like one tip to a player, what makes you go from good to great, and if you want to make that tip just specifically about your role, go for it. Otherwise, leave it completely open up to you. Canadian, let's start with you. What's one tip for a new strong player that they want to go from good to great?
I think just recognizing your mistakes. Okay. You know, you something goes wrong in your game, just take that captive and just try to think of what you could do differently next time.
Okay, and, awesome.
I think over time you can just get better and better that way.
Makes sense. That's the way you learn, right? Yeah. You gotta mess up to learn. Makes sense. Conflicted. Let's talk about you.
Just kind of have consistency. Like, the game is pretty, I don't say the same, but like, especially laning phase and like all the phases, like, mm-hmm. just kind of learn how everything goes and just know your position in the fight and like your role and just try and get better, like, mechanically at doing your role.
Sure. Yeah. Really grind it out. If you want to get good, you got to put in the time. That makes a lot of sense too. Slicey, let's talk about you.
So like, one thing is solo queue is very different from organized five man play. As in solo queue, they go to 1-2, and then organized team play, they go 1-1-3.
Right.
So the first thing would be to like actually find people to play with, like the Reddit card or like AOS.
Sure.
Just trying to find people to play with, see how they play, learn new strats.
Okay.
Just experience the game more on that end. Because it's a completely different game between solo queue and like with different metas and different everything.
That's definitely true. It's going to be a completely different look. It's going to be maybe jumping into too cold a water at first. You gotta learn where you're headed before you can actually get there. That makes sense. All right, Jin, let's go to you next.
For me, I think first thing you need to do is just always have your eye on the minimap.
Okay.
So that's what you can learn. Because if you see like lots of bots on the map, you have to get them out, because XP is king in this game.
That's true. You have to connect those dots, clear that jungle. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Farming is definitely the most important part of this game. The level spikes are so, so important. Unite, you need to be hitting those every single time. I like that tip a lot. Cool. Let's talk about you.
So just in terms of organized play, if you do end up finding four like-minded players, the biggest difference in this game isn't going to sometimes come down to mechanical skill. It's going to come down to communication. And I think just learning the important things to say, working on your secure timings, working on like who's rotating where, trying to track where the enemy is, because vision is a huge thing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise just working on talking and listening and figuring out like who's communicating what and what's important to talk about during the game.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Good comms. Always going to be an important thing in any competitive game you play. But yeah, Pokemon Unite, it definitely also going to reap a lot of rewards if you're doing that. All right, sweet. Well, thank you so much for teaching me how to be a better player. Anybody who's listening at home as well can do just the same with that. But since we're hitting the end, I want to give everybody just the chance to, you know, sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do, where people can find you on the internet, all that thing. Let's just go around this table one more time, Canadian. Just plug anything you want to, shout anything you want.
I mean, you know, I don't stream or make content or anything right yet, but I'm thinking about going to soon, so just watch out for that, I guess.
Oh, boy. The teaser. Okay. We got the Canadian teaser for content creation. I love it. I will make sure I get that founder badge for you on Twitch. Conflicted, you're up next.
Yeah, I'm the same as Canadian. I don't really stream or make anything. I kind of just play the game for fun, but playing competitively makes it a bit more fun.
Sure.
Since it gives you something to like strive towards than just playing like ladder games.
Cool. All right. Well, just watch Floatstone's games then for these two. That makes a lot of sense. Slice, how about you? You streaming? You got a Twitter? Anything like that you want to plug?
Not really.
All right. You guys are easy. This is great.
Yeah, pretty easy. Just one shout out to the homie Icy.
Okay. Like
when the
cool.
God of War secret future site buff happened, like, as soon as it happened, he's like Discord messaging me. He's like, yo, future site is OP. Like, yo, hey.
Shout out to Icy the day one. I love that. Okay. Jin, how about you?
I've been thinking about streaming as well, just like Daughter 2.
Okay.
I just want to keep from my perspective on my reflect on my mistakes and stuff.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, have that video review. It'll do favors for you as well. That makes a lot of sense. Coolid, why don't you round us out, sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do.
Sure. I stream once in a blue moon, but I do have a Twitch. It is Cooliger, and there's an underscore at the end, but if you just Twitch search Cooliger, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one on there. And then my Twitter, when I occasionally tweet when I'm going on, is at Cooliger Gaming, all one word.
Awesome. Cool. Go follow all these folks if you can find them on Twitter, and then tune in to watch their games into the broadcast this weekend. I'm so excited that we're finally getting our first finals globally, too. It's going to be a lot of tournament action to tune in on, and we'll always be talking about it here on the Unite Mics channel on Twitch, as well as the Unite Mics channel on YouTube. Make sure you go over there, subscribe, like the video, all that good stuff. You can also find this show on anywhere you can find podcasts, on any, like, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. Rate, review. You, it does us wonders, guys. So thank you so much for tuning into this, and make sure you check out all the other stuff we have. We got commentary on the YouTube channel. We got another podcast called Late Night Unite with a lot of cool personalities as well that my co-caster Dupesnack does. And then finally, guys, just word of mouth does so much good. If you could just shout out Unite Mics on socials anytime you see things for commentating, broadcasting stuff, it just does us such a good such good help. So thank you so much for those of you who have done it, and the rest of you, I have been Zoinks. This has been Floatstone Gaming, and have a good night. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.